It is so much easier to sing without a mask. I'm just over here having a great time. I can breathe. I can impose my off-tuneness to everybody. Yes, yes. I am misleading you all terribly with my singing, but I'm all the way over there in the corner. And thank you all so much, very, very much. You've been faithful throughout the pandemic, and I appreciate that faithfulness very, very much. And you have too. And thank you for being so wonderful with all of that. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. So this woman is going off on a religious retreat, and she's about 2 hours into the drive. And all of a sudden, it occurs to her, she can't remember if she turned off the stove. And she doesn't have anybody that she can call, and there's nothing, and she doesn't really want to drive 2 hours back, and she'll miss the first part of the retreat. She goes, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll pray. Hi, Jesus. This is Mary. Could you please turn off the stove? See you at the retreat. Amen. There's times when we get a little bit too chummy with Jesus. Jesus got nothing better to do than go around turning off our stoves, you know, because that's just where that is. I think, you know, it's great that we want to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, but sometimes we forget that Jesus is the Son of God. He is Lord. He is Savior. We hear the story of the Transfiguration and we are being reminded. It is not a retreat. This is a time for us to be reminded of who God really is. And we hear this account, and here's Jesus, and he says, you, and you, Peter, James, and John, come up with me. Please understand, they were not picked because they were the brightest and the best. My guess is they were in the slow group, and they needed extra tutoring. Because what happens when they go up there? The first thing that happens that you hear about them is they fall asleep. There's Jesus with God, Moses, Elijah, you got all lights going off, all this other stuff, and you're just like, oh my gosh, you know, if you're God, you're like, lightning bolt, bam, we'll wake them up. Jesus doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't say to him, oh, I'm kicking you down, bring up Philip and Matthew, and you guys get out of here. You're annoying me. They're not the brightest and the best. That's not why they're picked. That's not why they're picked. Sometimes we think that other people have these religious experiences and somehow we're being left out and left behind. No, that's not the way that works. God is totally comfortable with the relationship that God has with you. But there are times when all of us need to be reminded about what that relationship is truly about. And we go up, and sometimes, like in this passage, they're going up on a mountaintop, and they have a mountaintop experience. And we all have had moments sometimes where it's extremely exhilarating and it's powerful, and we feel a special intimacy and closeness with God, and that just we're just with God, and everything's going to be okay. And we have that calm, and we have that confidence, and we have all of that wonderful stuff going on. But Jesus is not selling real estate on mountaintops. When Jesus comes up there, I understand that the passage ends with the disciples, still with Jesus on the mountaintop. But the very next paragraph continues on with the story. The story does not end there. The lesson does not end there. And it does not end there for us. We are still called. We have that experience. But the mountaintop experience can't stay on the mountaintop. The mountaintop experience needs to be taken down into the valley, where there is need for hope, where there is need for healing, where there is need for transformation. We have an opportunity to be empowered by the presence of God, but it isn't something we're meant to keep into our pockets. It's something we are meant to be shared. And if we read the next paragraph, we find out there is a boy that needs healing. There is a father who needs comforted. There is a presence that needs to be felt that can bring the hope and healing and transformation. And if you read the story, you're going to find out something. Something that I think most of us can relate to. You're going to find out they fail. Anybody here ever fail? I've got the grades to prove it, all right? I have failed so many. They fail. But even in their failure, it leads the father to come to Jesus. If you read the passage, the father ends up going to Jesus. It's not about success. We will fail. It is about being faithful. Are you doing what God is calling you to do? We have these mountaintop experiences. The disciples had the mountaintop experience, but they didn't get any special Jedi spiritual powers. There was no magic formula. They couldn't bring healing. They couldn't bring hope. They couldn't bring comfort. But what they could bring was Jesus. And when you give somebody Jesus in their situation, you're giving them hope. You're giving them healing. You're giving them comfort. That's what we're called to do. We don't stay on the mountaintop. We don't just have me and Jesus in a kumbaya moment. We are empowered. Jesus isn't giving out real estate deeds. He's giving out assignments. We are his disciples, called by him to go out into the world, to go down into the valleys, go into places of darkness, go into places of despair, go into places of need, and bring Jesus. Give these people the hope that they need. Give them the healing that they need. Give them the opportunity they need to be able to meet with Jesus coming down from the mountain, because it's needed. We see what the heck is going on in the world. We see what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. And what did the Pope do? He breaks all the diplomatic protocol. Did you hear about that? He goes to the Russian embassy and says, this is madness, this is stupid. The people of Ukraine are fighting for their lives and for their country. The people of Russia are fighting for an egotistical tyrant. There's a huge difference. And I understand we're saying, well, I can't do anything about that. No, we probably can't do anything about Ukraine. We probably can't do anything about Russia. But we can do something about injustice. We know what it's like when somebody who has power and somebody who's a bully and somebody taking advantage of other people, we know what that's like, and we can do something about that. There is a voice we can have, and it's ours, and we stand up to injustice, and we stand up to oppression, and we stand up to prejudice, and we stand up to hatred, and we stand up to divisiveness, and we give to the world the vision that God intended when we were created, that God intended us all to be one. God intended us to respect creation. God intended us to respect one another. God intended us to recognize that everyone is a child of God, and we've heard it 100 times. Everyone means everyone. Amen. God has given us a voice. God has given us a vision. And God has entrusted to us this assignment to go out into the world. If you heard the news at all, you heard the Ukraine President Zelensky saying, I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking for an escape. So many times people want to say, oh, that's not my area. Oh, I'm not gifted like that. Oh, I can't do anything like that. That really? You're telling me that God can't work through you? Is that what you want to tell me? Because I want to be there when you go before God and say to God, oh, I didn't do that because God's going to go, uh-huh. You want to tell me I couldn't work through you? Have you ever read the Bible? Look at the people I've been working through. Thousands and thousands of years I've been working through idiots just like you. God calls us to do this. He's not looking for our excuses. He's not looking for us to excuse ourselves. He's not looking for us to make an escape. The president said, the Ukraine guy said, I'm not looking for a way out. I'm looking for help. People are looking for hope. They're looking for help. And we have the opportunity to be able to give that to them. Back in South Africa with the apartheid, remember Desmond Tutu. And remember him talking about how in the face of oppression, in the face of injustice, you can say that you're neutral because you want to be all careful and, oh, I'm neutral on that. Because you can say that you're neutral in the face of injustice. But that is the same as saying that you're neutral when there's an elephant standing on a mouse's tail. The mouse is not going to appreciate your neutrality. There are times when we are called to speak up. There are times when we are called to go out into the world, to be able to speak to those who are taking advantage of other people. Speak to those who are confront the injustice. Don't let it continue. There are times when people need to hear words of hope, words of healing, words of transformation. There are times when we are reminded not just of mountaintop experiences and glowing visions and big booming voices. There are times when we just need to hear God reminding us, this is my son, and he's not here to turn off your stove. He's here for you to listen to him. That's what we're called to do. That's what we do. The God of the mountain, you've heard the song, is the God of the valley. And the transfiguration reminds us of the power of God, a power we see in the resurrection at Easter of Jesus, a power we live as Easter people, a power that brings hope out of despair, love in the face of hate, life in the face of death. A power we are called to bring to the world, empowered by God's Holy Spirit, gifted by God, called by God to follow his Son, to bring hope, healing, transformation. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.